Hi, guys. Welcome to True Threats Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. Wow, another week is winding down here. Can't believe it. It's already Thursday. I don't know where the time goes, man. Anyway, the whole month is almost gone. Incredible. We're almost a full month into this, what I hope is the last year of this scoundrelous monstrosity from the pits of hell. Our illegitimate, unelected president twice over. Of course, you know, we could be in for something even worse if Hillary Shillery gets in there. Well, you know, it doesn't really matter, does it? Because that's been the trend for decades now. Each succeeding president takes us further down the rat hole. So regardless who or what gets in there next, you know, unfortunately, it's going to get worse. They're going to see to that. Well, who knows? We might not see the end of this scoundrel. You know, could rig another attack, and that would be the end of elections, fake or otherwise. Anyway, guys, interesting topic today. I'm going to continue on with the same theme of, you know, an alternative view of ancient history. We're going to be looking at the idea of catastrophism through the centuries, through the millennia. Everybody's familiar with what is called, you know, the Great Flood. That's talked about in legends around the world. But what a lot of people don't realize is there were actually multitudes of calamities, not on that scale, you know, on a much lesser scale, but calamities nonetheless. The Earth has been struck many times. You know, around the world there's over 100, I think it's about 150 impact craters. And you know, every time these things have hit, they've inflicted devastation. A lot of them have happened within recorded history. And so we're going to look at some of these rare records that most people have overlooked. And we're going to corroborate that with some scientific data and see how, yeah, the Earth has been struck on several occasions. That's why there's a lot of talk about, you know, an upcoming strike, asteroid impact. It may very well be. But especially when you realize how frequent these things have actually happened in the past. We're actually overdue for such an impact. There have been many that have occurred in the past on the average of, you know, one every 400 or 500 years or so. So we'll be documenting that. Really interesting stuff, going into ancient Chinese annals and ancient Mayan records and on and on. Anyway, before we do that, before we go to the commercial break, let me just mention here one of our fairly new sponsors, guys. Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, or the oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, they ship worldwide, guys, with free shipping to U.S. and Canadian customers. At hempusa.org, you will be educated that edible hemp is not marijuana and that it is certified THC free. So, you know, if you want to order it just to smoke it, you're going to be disappointed. But, you know, I must say I was ignorant about this. I never realized that hemp was high in nutrition, particularly in protein. The powder is 50% protein, as a matter of fact, and does not contain gluten, for those of you that, you know, have allergic reactions to gluten. This nutrient-dense food can be used as a storable food for up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. Your body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset, guys, especially with the coming crisis that we know we're headed for. So we're going to go to break. When we get back, I'll tell you how you can get your supply today, guys. Stick with us. Lose the love I knew, safe beneath it. Ooh.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, guys. Back to Two Thirds Radio. I feel a sneeze coming on, but it's one of those that hesitates. Maybe it is going away now. I hate when that happens. Oh, this cold just does not want to let go. This is what I deal with all the time. It never fully blows up into a full rampage, but it just lingers for days. What is this now? Day number six, I believe. Yeah. Yep. It started on Saturday. Unbelievable. Anyway. So, yeah, guys, I think you find this really interesting, especially, you know, you delve into some of the historical records. It's pretty clear. In fact, many scientists now agree. Well, I don't know about many, but there are quite a few scattered here and there that have dedicated a lot of time to this. In fact, there's been articles in recent issues of, you know, The Guardian, the BBC has done documentaries on this, PBS has done documentaries on this. So it is more and more being acknowledged now that catastrophism is not such a rare thing. You know, keep in mind, just a few decades ago, it was denied that catastrophes occurred at all. You know, just an occasional volcanic eruption may have happened or an earthquake or something, but nothing major on a global scale. But now they're acknowledging that, you know, these things do appear to happen pretty regularly. And it doesn't take that much brain power to figure it out. I mean, the Earth is surrounded. The whole solar system is permeated with floating debris. Obviously, in the past, there was a lot more even than there is now. A lot of it has already impacted, and you can see that by looking at the surface of every solid body in the solar system. They're plastered with craters. Every planet, every moon, And but anyway, the only reason why the Earth has so few, you know, relatively few craters compared to other bodies in the solar system is mostly because of its erosion rate, very high erosion rate, wind, water action, you know, eroding the craters away. It's only the larger ones that are more deeply embedded, you know, into solid rock that have survived to modern times. But the Earth has been hit as many times, you know, as any other body in the solar system. And so, again, that's what we're going to talk about today, is some instances of this occurring within known human history. And the first one, and what tipped them off initially to this, it wasn't even the ancient records. Later, they went through ancient annals, you know, to see if there was any correlation. But what tipped them off initially was anomalies that they were finding in tree ring data, as well as ice core samples. Tree rings from, you know, different places like Turkey, oak tree rings up in Ireland, from trees that, you know, are 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years old. And by counting back, you know, they discovered that there were anomalies, you know, that at certain points. And these same anomalies coincided, they discovered, with ice core data taken from, like, Greenland, for example. Count back so many years, and these anomalies were occurring at the same time. So they realized, wow, something was going on. The climate was being affected at the same time up in Greenland, affecting the ice deposition rate. At the same time, what was happening down in Ireland that was affecting the growth rate of these trees. You know, there was periods of droughts that arose. And then, of course, when they started looking into the annals of ancient history, the few scanty scraps that have survived till today, they discovered that, yeah, look at that. There were famines recorded. There were anomalies that were, you know, seen in the heavens, which all indicate that, you know, this must have been the result of an impact of some kind, or, you know, either a comet or an asteroid or whatever. So the first one we'll look at is 4400 BC. Again, according to the ice core and tree ring data, it appears that a calamitous impact had occurred on Earth at that time. Ice core samples from Greenland show that there was a great buildup of ice around this period, and tree rings in oak trees from a bog in Ireland reveal very thin and closely spaced growth rings from this same time, lasting over a period of several years, further indicating, again, a severe temperature dropping climate change that stunted the growth of these trees. And, you know, understand that when there is an impact like that, what will happen, it really doesn't matter what part of the planet it's on. If it's a significant enough impact, it'll send debris up high into the upper atmosphere that can spread its way out, you know, globally. And, you know, if enough debris is sent skyward, it can block out a significant amount of sunlight, of heat, and, you know, that can cause the temperature to drop. And it can take several years for that material to clear out of the atmosphere. And the effects, you know, can be absolutely devastating. And this is what they find, again, from the tree ring data. Further evidence of this crisis comes from ancient Egypt. According to John Anthony West in his book Serpents in the Sky, the ancient Egyptian calendar was established around 4240 BC. So it appears that, you know, the Egyptians started their calendar right at this time in response to this crisis. What happened is they probably had lived in latitudes further north, where the effects of this disaster were more visible, more noticeable. And so they migrated further south, where the climate was, you know, warmer, so that they could more easily ride out this this crisis. And it appears that that's what spawned the establishment of, you know, the Egyptian civilization. It's just interesting, you know, that you see these correlations here. The next one And as we get closer to our, you know, modern time, we'll see more evidence emerging. Because this is so far in the past, there aren't too many annals that have survived to our day from other parts of the world to corroborate this. But as we continue on with dates, again, coming up closer to our current time, we'll see that there are dates. I mean, there are ancient records that coincide with these dates. The next one we come to is 3150 BC. And again, you know, this this date was arrived at initially from the tree ring data and from the ice cores. Both revealed there was another significant temperature drop on a global scale, obviously spawned by some type of celestial calamity. Some scientists, based on computer calculations and simulations, believe that the asteroid Olajato had passed dangerously close to the Earth at this time. Perhaps this asteroid was once much larger than it is currently, and as it passed the Earth, you know, if there was a weak spot in it, it had some crack or something, it could have broken in half and a piece of it came, you know, hurtling toward the Earth, striking it and, again, causing this global-scale temperature drop. As was the case with the last disaster I just cited, the 4400 BC one, as it being the starting date for the Egyptian calendar, we find the same thing having occurred with the Maya. The starting date of their calendar was 3114 BC, roughly corresponding with this 3150 BC. Again, it's fascinating how these dates, you know, all seem to tie in with each other. Perhaps the Maya had migrated from further north. Maybe they lived up in, you know, what is now Canada or northern, you know, the northern United States. And when this disaster struck, they migrated further south, like apparently the Egyptians did from the previous calamity, and started their civilization down in Mexico and Central America. Again, where it was warmer, and perhaps there wasn't as much of this dust in the upper atmosphere resulting from the impact blocking out the sun. Again, you know, fascinating correlations with these dates and these events. But now we're coming closer with this next one, 2345 BC, almost 1,000 years later, and now we have even more records correlating with this. In that year, 2345 BC, there appears once again to have been another catastrophe, an asteroid or a cometary impact. Initially, again, this day was arrived at from the same source, ice cores and tree ring data. So it's just interesting to see all these different pieces of evidence all falling in place, all pointing to the same thing. Coinciding with this date are several civilizational declines that occurred over a five-century period between 2500 and 2000 BC. Again, all appearing to be the result of this particular calamity. This was the period of the what is called the Old Bronze Age. These civilizations included the peoples of the Levant, Anatolia, Greece, later to rise again, of course, in 331 BC, Egypt's Old Kingdom, the Akkadian Empire in Mesopotamia, the Helmand Civilization in Afghanistan, and the Harappan Civilization of the Indus Valley in Pakistan. Simultaneously, there were major changes going on in all of these regions corresponding with this obvious impact, as indicated again by the tree ring and ice core data. These cyclical rises and falls of civilizations in sync with recurring catastrophes would explain why, you know, ancient technology, or would help to explain anyway, why ancient technology appears to have disappeared. You know, last week I talked about the ancients having the ability to make flying craft, and, you know, some would ask, well, how come we don't have it anymore? Well, one of the reasons, not only warfare, one other reason might have been these catastrophes wiping civilizations out, and then with them went their technology. All right, guys, short break. Stick with us. Be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. As I mentioned before the break, there were several reasons why this ancient technology didn't make it to our current era, why it was lost, not only because of warfare, but as I quoted last week, from some ancient documents, the ancients actually didn't want their advanced technology of, say, air flight, for example, disseminated. Because they knew that it had great potential to, destroy lives. So they wanted it to be kept in the hands of a few. Much like a lot of the technology we know the government to have today. They keep it in the hands of the few. They don't want the public having it. They just want to keep a monopoly on their power, not because they don't want mass destruction. They love mass destruction. They just want to be the ones inflicting it. Don't want competition. But anyway, there's another factor. And again, it's this idea of catastrophes arising, natural catastrophes. In fact, interestingly, there are actually some ancient records that bear testimony to this very fact, that a lot of ancient knowledge was lost because of calamities. Philo, for example, from Alexandria, expressed this point vividly when he wrote, quote, by reason of the constant and repeated destructions by water and fire, the later generations did not receive from the former the memory of the order and sequence of events. So he's talking here about multiple catastrophes, and because of that, everything was lost. The order and sequence of events, our history was lost to us, technological developments, on and on. Speaking in reference to ancient Greece specifically, Josephus, Flavius Josephus, first century actually second century Jewish historian, made this similar statement. He said, the region about Greece has been invaded by thousands of destructive plagues or catastrophes, which blotted out the memory of past events, and as they were always setting up new modes of life, each of them supposed that their own was the beginning of all. Interesting, because that's pretty much the idea that circulates today, that our current so-called civilization and the advanced technology that goes along with it is a first in the human experience. You know, there's never been anything like this achieved before that could even match it, let alone rival it. That's what they want you to think, but it's not true. As we talked, again, you know, last week about ancient technology, guys, levels have like this have been reached before and perhaps even higher than what we have today. It's just all been lost. Anyway, these oscillating periods of advancement and decline, fair weather and severe, are likely the reasons why many ancient cultures divided up their history into different ages. Two cultures that did this particularly were the Maya and the Aztec civilizations, which called their ages suns. You know, could they have meant by this the changing path of the sun in the sky that resulted from each earth tilt that followed every major celestial impact? A new sun, you know, the sun traced a different path across the sky now? It would appear so. Another culture that did this was the ancient people of India. According to a Vedic tradition, the divisions of their history were called yugas, and they were delineated by periods of ascent and decline of their civilization. Interestingly enough, these same periods were believed to coincide with celestial events. I tell you guys, there's very good reason why the ancients were so fascinated with the heavens and making stone calendars that would last for generations, because there were these reoccurring calamities, and every time one occurred, they had to readjust the calendar. And we'll be talking about that if time permits, if I can get to it. There's quite a bit in these notes here, but we'll actually look at some instances of that where the calendar had to be readjusted periodically. But anyway, let's come back to, oh, by the way, I wanted to mention the Maya in their Popol Vuh also made reference to how their ancient ancestors were very wise, that they had measured the four corners of the heavens and had mapped out the entire earth, and all of their great wisdom was lost because of, you know, a series of calamities that had struck. So the Maya were also aware of this factor of, you know, reoccurring calamities, you know, that had caused them to lose their discoveries of their forefathers. But let us come back to our discussion of the catastrophe of 2345 BC. Kind of got sidetracked a little bit there. Not only did this catastrophic event spawn colder temperatures in certain regions, but other regions that had formerly been fertile had suddenly become dry deserts, such as the Sahara, which grew dramatically in size at this time. Recall, you know, for example, they have found actual, you know, rock paintings on cliff walls right in the middle of the Sahara that depict, you know, tropical plants that obviously do not grow there and have not grown there for a long time. But this indicates that, you know, the area was settled. There were civilizations that lived in what is now this dry, massive expanse of desert. So clearly the climates have changed. And that change appears to have happened at the time of this particular disaster. Okay, guys, we'll pick up from there when we get back. Stick with us, short break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715, again, 888-211-1715, or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, guys. Back to Two-Thirds Radio. So, we were just talking about the Sahara, but that wasn't the only area. At the same time, the Dead Sea had become arid at this time. The northern plains of India, there was also tremendous flooding in China at this same period. And the this was during the time of the reign of Emperor Yao or Yahu, which began in the year 2357, corresponding closely with the same date. We'll come back to him later. There's he pops up frequently in the Chinese annals, referring to, you know, catastrophes that had struck. Anyway, there were other regions affected at this time as well. South of the Sahara, for example, had become subtropical, and North America had become wetter and cooler. Mexico, on the other hand, became drier, as did southern Europe. There's also evidence from during the same era of changes in the ocean currents and crustal disruptions on a global scale. So a lot was going on. This was a pretty major calamity. The ancient Irish annals speak of this time thusly, quote, 9,000 died in 1 week. Ireland was 30 years waste. So, this was quite a time to be living. There are several craters that have been discovered worldwide, such as two mile-wide ones in the El Amara region of southern Iraq, and several others in Argentina, all dating to the same epoch, which many scientists believe were collectively the cause of these global climatic and tectonic changes, quite possibly so. You know, the Earth could have passed through a swarm of asteroids at that time, and a whole bunch struck over a period of, you know, several years, so that there was really no chance of recovering from the previous strikes. Another one would hit and carry on the darkening of the skies and the cooling of the temperature globally, you know, the whole climate. Then we also have this. There's an Arcadian stella dating to the reign of Naram Sin, around 2300 BC, again, roughly the time of this catastrophe, which portrays an outdoor scene showing two suns hovering overhead. You know, could this extra sun be the cometary or asteroidal impact that struck the Earth during this period? You know, could this have been, could this indicate, you know, that they had seen this this object overhead heading toward Earth? Who knows? But, you know, that means something. Anyway, let's move on to the next date now. That was around 2300 BC. Now we move to 1628 BC. And again, we, you know, they got this from the tree ring data and from the ice core data. Associated with this date are several unusual incidents from the historical record that are perhaps, once again, consequential to this disaster. One of these was the suspension of what was called the Mandate of Heaven in the Zia Dynasty of China. This was a sort of an equivalent of the medieval European divine right of kings dogma, which held that, you know, kings had divine authority to rule the masses in any way they so chose. And so this was suspended. That means, because this was suspended, that the Chinese viewed the current reigning king as having incurred the wrath of the gods, thus punishing them with the calamity they were facing. The king took the blame for it, because it was thought if he was pleasing the gods, then the calamity wouldn't have struck. So, again, this divine right of kings was suspended. The king was not allowed to... gee, I wish we had that today. Wouldn't that be nice, huh? This country is such a screwed-up mess. The divine right of kings is not being extended to our current emperor any longer. So, you know, let's take him out and put somebody else in. Don't you wish we had the same mentality as the ancient Chinese? They didn't put up with any baloney. Of course, they blamed their kings for natural calamities, but... the ones we face today aren't natural, guys. They're man-inflicted. Anyway, what brought China's version of this to a close at this time may have been spawned by, again, severe displeasure with the then-reigning emperor, you know, because he didn't prevent the catastrophe. Or because, again, he displeased the gods. In any case, here we have another confirmation that goes along with the tree ring data, you know, from ancient sources. Here's yet another contemporaneous incident of the same nature. This one is from the historical records found inscribed on the Babylonian Venus tablets. They contain an astronomical series of data from the reign of King, Amingzaduga. Wow, some of these are hard to pronounce, let me tell you. Indicating that the planet Venus had disappeared for 9 months and 4 days. Such a result would actually be expected from enshrouding, you know, dust hovering in the upper atmosphere. Definitely would have shrouded out Venus. Of course, it would have shrouded out everything in the sky. The reason why it mentioned Venus specifically is because Venus held a very high rank in their pantheon, and so that would have been the main concern, that they could not see Venus more than any other celestial object. But it is interesting that it mentions that, you know, that obviously there was this enshrouding blanket of dust in the upper atmosphere resulting from this impact. This same period, which was known as the Middle Bronze Age, was also marked by a sudden decline and outright collapse of many civilizations in the Eastern Hemisphere, all related to natural calamities that were unquestionably the result of a major impact, or perhaps multiple impacts. Commenting on this age of political and geophysical upheaval, Velikovsky had this to say. He said that catastrophes of earthquake and fire were of such encompassing extent that Asia Minor, Mesopotamia, the Caucasus, and the Iranian plateau, as well as Syria, Palestine, Cyprus, and Egypt, were simultaneously overwhelmed. Velikovsky, by the way, for those of you aren't familiar with him, Emmanuel Velikovsky wrote a whole series of books dealing with this very issue, multiple calamities in the distant past. Very interesting reading. And even though I don't agree with, you know, a lot of his ideas, his theories, his interpretations, nevertheless, the information he provides in his book is very interesting. And if you're at all intrigued by this stuff, I highly recommend you get it, get any of his books. Particularly, what's the one now? His most famous one. My mind's slipping me here. Oh, shucks. Well, I'll tell you what, just Google his name and you'll see his books come up. Velikovsky, that's V-E-L-I-K-O-V-S-K-Y, I think it is. Velikovsky, yeah. Speaking of Egypt, it was during this time that the Second Intermediate Period had come to a close, which separated the Middle Kingdom from the New Kingdom. During this era, Egypt had split up into several small fiefdoms, if you will. There was the Hyksos that had invaded and controlled Upper Egypt. Local rulers had lorded over Middle Egypt, and then finally the Nubian invaders had taken charge of Lower Egypt. And we can conclude then that the chaos and breakdown resulting from celestial traumas served as ripe breeding grounds for political overthrows. It only makes sense. In the midst of the chaos, unscrupulous leaders were easily able to take over countries that were already turned upside down from the disaster to begin with. And we see this over and over with these catastrophes occurring through history. There was a lot of overthrows that took place. You know, just look at 9/11. They know this all too well. If there isn't a crisis coming, yes, simply make one. And then, during all the chaos and confusion and fear, you engage in a massive power grab, and you sucker people to fight wars for you. Does that sound familiar? Again, the difference is, back then, they just took advantage of natural calamities. Today, they create artificial ones, but always for the same purpose. The old power grab routine. Nothing changes much in history, does it, guys? Anyway, what may also have transpired in conjunction with this tumultuous era in Egyptian history was the escape of the Hebrews from enslavement, you know, in Egypt at that time, as recorded in the biblical book of Exodus. Now, this is where it gets real interesting. The famous 10 plagues that occurred at this very time can all be seen as symptoms of a large meteoritic impact, believe it or not. For example, we're first told of the water turning to blood. This is a phenomenon that is actually quite commonly found in ancient literature in association with you know, celestial disasters. As it turns out, it's also evidently associated frequently with let me skip that part. I don't want to go into that. Let's see. What happened, though, as far as the water turning to blood, is when you know, was probably an iron-based celestial object, meteorite or asteroid or whatever. And when it entered the upper atmosphere, a great deal of it vaporized and thus oxidized. You know, anybody who's ever, you know, seen meteorites or is familiar with meteorites, I collect them myself. They rust real easy. Most of them do anyway. Some of them contain enough nickel in the iron mix so that they don't rust so easy, but most of them have so much iron in them, much more than nickel, that they do rust. Sometimes just the oils in your fingers will cause them to turn red from rust. And so that appears to be what caused the turning of the water into blood. Was this oxidation of this iron material in the upper atmosphere, and when it rained, this red blood, if you will, rained down and changed the color of the rivers, you know, polluting the rivers, probably killing a lot of fish. And anyway, the book of Exodus, chapter 7, relates that, quote, all the waters that were in the Nile River turned to blood, and the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Again, just because it says blood doesn't literally mean there was blood. A lot of people read this and interpret it that way. But no, as I said, and we'll see in a second here, there were a lot of recordings like this from around the world in ancient times of water turning to blood. Simply means it turned a red color looking like blood. The only way the Egyptians were able to get drinkable water, we're told in the biblical record, is to dig for it underground. That makes sense because the falling debris would not have polluted underground sources, only those above ground. This event was witnessed by an ancient Egyptian, as it turns out, named Ippur, who wrote these words on an ancient Egyptian papyrus, today known as the Ippur papyrus. He said, the river is blood. Plague is throughout the land. Blood is everywhere. Interesting. Coinciding with the biblical record. Let's compare this with what a certain Roger of Wendover wrote about a parallel circumstance that had taken place in the middle of the 6th century A.D. It was another impact that had occurred then. And here's what he said about it. In the year of grace, 541, there appeared a comet in Gaul, or France, so fast that the whole sky seemed on fire. The same year there dropped real blood from the clouds, and a dreadful mortality ensued. Interesting. This is exactly what we're told took place in Egypt, guys, with the you know, the first plague. So can we write this off as fairy tale? You know, the story of the 10 plagues? No, not at all. As we go through the rest of these, you're going to see that each one of them actually is exactly what you would expect from a calamity of this sort. Please notice how he said it rained blood, and then that red-colored rain turned the waters red and killed the fish, just like in Egypt. Turning to the Hindu epic, the Mahabharata, a document I read from, you know, last week when I talked about ancient technology, it talks quite a bit about, you know, flying craft and the wars that were fought in them. Excuse me. In this same document, we find a tale of fireballs in the sky that were the work of a dreadful bird with one leg. Now, here's some hyperbole added, obviously. But please notice how it's associating, you know, the waters turning red with a celestial disaster. This bird had one eye and one wing, which hovered clumsily overhead as it vomited blood. In other words, it rained blood. This was a comet, or probably a large meteor, is what they described. They described it as a bird with one wing. Well, that was its tail as it came through the upper atmosphere. How about the Maya? They have a legend that relates a story of a similar nature. It tells of a time when a great cataclysm caused the earth to quake It interrupted the sun's motion, and it turned the waters of the rivers to blood. So I hope you can see, you know, there's a lot more to this Egyptian story than what meets the eye. Stories from around the world in ancient times tell the exact same thing. Waters turning to blood. Even Babylonian records talk of a calamity that resulted in red dust and rain falling from the sky, and references are also made to bloody rain from these same Babylonian tablets. Anyway, guys, when we get back, we'll pick up from there and talk about some of the other Egyptian plagues and show how they also relate to a calamity of this nature. Anyway, stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, guys, back to Two-Thirds Radio. So here we can see that this first plague, obviously, was a symptom of an asteroidal impact. We have just cited records from all over the ancient world that talked about comets and or, you know, meteors coming through the upper atmosphere and causing a fall of bloody rain, you know, red water. It's the oxidization from the metal in the asteroidal body. And so there's no question that's what was going on here in Egypt. You know, some people might say, no, God did that. Oh, really? Well, you need to get my book, Does God Destroy Folks? regardless whether you're religiously inclined or not, the Bible actually doesn't teach that God destroys. Man destroys his own self. God simply lets it happen and takes the responsibility for it as though he did it himself when he actually had nothing to do with it. He takes the responsibility for it because he doesn't stop it, and he won't stop it. If destruction is what you're bent on, he'll let you have it. And that's what was going on there. It was a natural calamity. It was affecting the whole planet, not just Egypt. But let's go on with some of the other plagues. After the water had turned to blood, we are then informed of a series of infestations of frogs, gnats, and then flies. Later, during the eighth plague, we're told of another infestation, this time of locusts. And indeed, we could expect such infestations to result from a major meteoritic impact, with the water supply polluted, you know, turned to blood. The press obviously would be on for such critters to search for non-polluted sources of water, as well as edible crops. You know, the crops would have died if they weren't getting special care and pure water dug up from the ground. So naturally, all these critters would have invaded human populations to get much-needed food and water, and that's what was going on here. That's why Egypt was getting swarmed with these plagues. Infestations were connected with a celestial catastrophe in ancient China during the reign of Emperor Yahu, which I mentioned a few moments ago. It is said that an immense tidal wave that reached the sky fell upon the land of China. And the document goes on to say, the water was well up on the high mountains, and the foothills could not be seen at all. This is from the Shu King, the canon of Yao or Yahu. At this time, the sun is said to have not set for a span of 10 days, a likely exaggeration, but nevertheless, the forests were ignited and a multitude of abominable vermin were brought forth. So you can see clearly this ancient document is making reference to a calamity from the skies. It caused a tsunami. That's just what you would expect from an asteroidal impact, especially if it struck the ocean somewhere. And it resulted in a pestilence. A multitude of abominable vermin were brought forth. There you go, guys. Can you not see that what took place in Egypt, the 10 plagues, were actually the result of an asteroidal or cometary-type impact? Next came the Egyptian plague of the diseased livestock. Again, this is just what would be expected from a crisis of this nature, especially with fresh water being a rare commodity, coupled with the effects of the flies and other insects carrying diseases. Of course there would be an epidemic that would spread like wildfire. And that's just what we see. All right, guys, we'll pick up from there when we get back. Short break. Stick with us.